the processional hymn 653. Lead, kindly light, amid the encircling gloom, lead thou me on. Our service on this 16th Sunday after Trinity. We'll follow the order of Holy Communion, beginning with the opening greeting on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, hear the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfill them, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The Old Testament reading is from the Book of Lamentations, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. How lonely sits the city that once was full of people! How like a widow she has become! She that was great among the nations, she that was a princess among the provinces, has become a vassal. She weeps bitterly in the night, with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has no one to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile with suffering and hard servitude. She lives now among the nations and finds no resting place. Her pursuers have all overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to the festivals. All her gates are desolate. Her priests groan, her young girls grieve, and her lot is bitter. Her foes have become the masters. Her enemies prosper, because the Lord has made her suffer for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone away, captives before the foe. For daughter Zion has departed all her majesty. Her princes have become like stags that find no pasture. They fled without strength before the pursuer. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did. When I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord, or for me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until the day that I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasures entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn 645. Father, hear the prayer we offer. Hear the Gospel of our Savior Christ according to St. Luke, chapter 17, beginning at verse 5.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from ploughing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat and drink? Later, you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Grant, O God, that through the written word and through the spoken word, we may behold the living word, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 17 and verse 10. We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. A tree, a table, and an apron. Three objects mentioned in the Gospel reading which can help thoughts about being Christian. Three objects that can help thinking about faith, about humility, and about service. Jesus has warned the apostles in the previous verses that it would be better to have a millstone round their neck and for them to be thrown into the sea than for them to cause harm to the faith of those who were little ones. It is stern stuff that explains why the apostles say in St. Luke chapter 17, verse 5, increase our faith. They realize how inadequate their faith is to the task that lies ahead of them. They cannot have been encouraged by Jesus' answer to them in verse 5. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. The disciples must have looked at the mulberry tree and wondered what faith would mean if such a feat was possible. How would they possibly have the sort of faith of which Jesus spoke? The mulberry tree is a reminder of the weakness of people's faith. Jesus knows that the disciples would all desert him when the hour of danger came, but would learn from their failings and become strong in their faith. The mulberry tree is a reminder that faith by itself is not enough, that Christians depend on God. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. If one had faith the size of a mustard seed, one might be able to uproot a tree and plant it in the sea. But one is not being asked to do so. All that is being asked is to accept God's grace, accept that what he has done, accept his gift. The mulberry tree is a reminder to Christians that they do not depend on their own efforts. The tree teaches about faith. the table teaches about humility. Slaves were property. They were commodities that could be bought and sold. They were human beings whose value was calculated in pieces of silver. Exodus chapter 21, verse 32, places a price upon the life of a slave. If a slave was killed by an ox, then the owner must be recompensed with 30 pieces of silver. Slaves were people without social standing, without respect. Jesus asks the disciples a question to which they all knew the answer. In verse 7, he says, "Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'?" Slaves were not people to be treated with equality. They were not people to be welcomed to the table. Humility is difficult. It is not a popular idea. Humility runs against the way of thinking that tells people that they were entitled to have whatever they want, that they were entitled to be respected, that they were entitled to be happy. Writing to the church at Philippi, St. Paul has to remind the Christians there that they are expected to live lives of humility. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, he writes, "In humility, regard others as better than yourselves." Christians are to show such humility not because it is their preference, but because it is the way of Jesus, who says, St. Paul, in verses 6 and 7 of that chapter, "Though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave." The table is a reminder to Christians about their place. If Jesus becomes as a slave for their sake, then Christians should realize that they are called to be humble. The tree teaches about faith that depends on grace. The table teaches about the need for humility. And the apron teaches about service. Jesus asks the disciples in verse 8 whether or not the master would say to the slave, "Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you may eat and drink." In verse 9, he warns them, service may be a thankless task. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? What thoughts must have passed through the disciples' minds at the thought that they should be like slaves wearing an apron? In St. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus makes it clear that this is what his own ministry is about. "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." There must have been doubts, questions, reservations among those who were listening. The idea of being treated like someone who would wear an apron like a slave would have been a very uncomfortable thought for those who were free men accustomed to doing and going as they pleased. Some may have wondered whether they would continue to follow Jesus. The apron symbolizes the sort of service that is difficult for people. It is the sort of service that receives no thanks, the sort of service that goes unrecognized. It is the sort of service that Jesus expects.
Jesus tells his disciples in verse 10, "So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" How many people are prepared to serve God in such a way? Jesus' way runs counter to the ways of the world. It runs counter to a world where personalities matter, where material goods matter, and where social standing matters. The tree, the table, and the apron are reminders that Jesus' way is not an easy way. A prayer of St. Ignatius Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, captures a sense of the faith, the humility and the service for which Jesus looks in each of his people. "Teach us, good Lord, to serve thee as thou deservest, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing that we do thy will." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Remembering God's marvelous work and living in hope, let us pray for the church, the world, and all people according to their needs, that God will pour out the Spirit of power, love, and self-discipline upon the church, particularly in this diocese, and in this group of parishes, so that confident of our salvation, we might live according to God's holy calling in the world. Lord, in your mercy. that God will bring an end to destruction and violence in the world and make justice to shine like the noonday. Lord, in your mercy, that God will strengthen the faith of all who suffer for the sake of the gospel and deliver them, that they might not be ashamed of their suffering, but be powerful witnesses to God's grace. Lord, in your mercy. That God will heal the sick, uphold the dying, and that those who care for the sick and dying will gain strength from their faith. Lord, in your mercy. That God will increase the faith of all in our congregation, and so increase our love for and service to others. Lord, in your mercy. We pray with thanksgiving as we remember your saints, Lois and Eunice, who nurtured in Timothy a living faith, and all parents and grandparents who nurtured in children and grandchildren that same faith in Jesus Christ. Give us a living faith to do the same until we are finally united with Christ and all the saints in light. Lord, in your mercy. God of faithfulness, encircled in your loving kindness, we lift up to you all in need. Hear our prayers on behalf of others and sustain us as we await the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Give the Lord the glory due to his name. Enter his courts with an offering. The offertory hymn 398. Alleluia, sing to Jesus. Thank you. follow the Second Communion prayer on page 212, and at the appropriate time, the words of the Holy, Holy, Holy may be found in the inset at the back of the prayer book. Let us pray. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. All glory and honor, thanks and praise be given to you at all times and in all places, Lord, Holy Father, true and living God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is your eternal Word, through whom you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your image. Turning to page 214. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Merciful Father, we thank you for these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, and we pray that we who eat and drink them in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, in obedience to our Savior Christ, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his body and his blood. Who in the night he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as our Savior has commanded. We celebrate the redemption he has won for us. We proclaim the perfect sacrifice made once for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. And we look for his coming to fulfill all things according to your will. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Renew us by your Holy Spirit, unite us in the body of your Son, and bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord, with whom and in whom, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of never-ending praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The blood of Christ keep you in eternal life. The blood of Christ keep you in eternal life. The blood of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. God of mercy, through our sharing in this holy sacrament, you make us one body in Christ. Fashion us in his likeness here on earth, that we may share his glorious company in heaven, where he lives and reigns now and forever. Almighty God, our of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Tonight there will be Harvest Thanksgiving in Lochacrae Presbyterian Church at 6:30, and parishioners from our parish are cordially invited and welcome. There'll be supper afterwards. On Tuesday evening, there will be a meeting in the parochial hall for all who have agreed to help with our afternoon tea fundraising event later in the month. On Wednesday evening, the bowling club meets in the hall at 8 o'clock. Sunday next, the 17th Sunday after Trinity, family service at 10 o'clock, after which there will be light refreshments in the parochial hall in support of Christian Aid. And next Sunday evening, at 6:30, there will be Harvest Thanksgiving in Drumlock Presbyterian Church, to which parishioners of Anna Hilt are also invited. The speaker will be the Reverend Mark Hawthorne from Legacurry Presbyterian Church, and there will be supper afterwards. The next meeting of the Mothers' Union will take place at 8 o'clock on Monday, the 20th of October. That's Monday, the 20th of October. And our fundraising vintage afternoon tea takes place on Saturday, the 18th of October. Tickets are still available from Patricia Halliday or any other member of the committee. And we are now selling for a 3:15 p.m. sitting, as well as 2 p.m. If you have purchased tickets already, it would be appreciated if you could arrive as close to 2 o'clock as possible. Or if you wish to come at 3:15, please let one of the committee know as soon as possible. The recessional hymn 647, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.